It's October 11, 2009. Welcome to Sunday at CMU and happy Thanksgiving. My name is David Bolser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Let's pray. God of all grace and love, on this Thanksgiving weekend, we make lots of efforts to come together as families for feasts of food and friendship. We say this morning, thank you, O Lord, for all the richness and meaning that life holds for us. You are the giver of all good gifts. Let us never forget that. We offer our thanksgiving to you even as we share a meal, laugh together, and play. With grateful hearts, we pray. Amen. That was Summons, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Today we continue our series in the book of Mark. This is the second story in our series about someone who Jesus invites into newness of life. Today we meet a man tormented by a demon. My hope is that you will hear the invitation to newness of life as well. The scripture text is taken from Mark chapter 5, and our speaker again today is Dr. George Shillington, Professor Emeritus at CMU.
The pork industry in Canada, Manitoba in particular, is in bad shape these days. Some hog producers in this province have had to sell their pigs for a dollar apiece or give them away for the shipping. Our sympathy goes out to farmers who have lost income. I mention this situation because our text for today in Mark 5 is, in a way, about an ancient pig farmer who lost significant income from his 2,000 pigs, and that at the command of Jesus. But there is another important part to the account. Let me first outline the story found in Mark 5 and then identify some questions that arise from my reading of the story and also some positive possibilities for our modern lives. The scene is set in the region of the Gerasenes, on the east side of the Lake of Galilee. That area at the time was the domain of Herod Philip, a region willed to him by his father, Herod the Great. Jewish people lived in the area, but also many non-Jewish residents. The story tells of a man running around in the area tormented by demons, a man so strong that the people couldn't restrain him. His favorite haunts were among the tombs of the area. Jesus met up with the man and his demon, named Legion, because of its many forms. The demon addressed Jesus as Son of the Most High and begged him not to send it out of the country. The many-formed demon noticed a herd of 2,000 pigs in the hillside and requested Jesus to let it enter the pigs. Jesus obliged. The 2,000 pigs ran headlong down the hill into the lake below. The farmer was probably not too happy, but the demon-possessed man was delighted to be freed from his unclean torment and begged Jesus to let him be with him. Jesus refused. He told the man to go home to his friends and tell them the great thing that had happened to him. Instead, the man went to 10 major cities in the region and proclaimed the wonder of it all to the inhabitants there. Now, the title assigned to this lesson for today is simply Restored to Wholeness, and we could leave it at that. The demented man can return to his home and customary life after his encounter with Jesus that freed him from his unclean demon, but there are so many parts to this story to ponder. It would be irresponsible to let them lie untouched in the text. So here we go. What peasant farmer in ancient Palestine would have owned as many as 2,000 pigs? Would the farmer have been Jewish? Probably not. Pigs were seen as unclean animals according to Jewish law. What kind of demon possessed the man, we ask? Well, it is called repeatedly an unclean spirit. The pigs, from a Jewish perspective, are also unclean. Impurity was a problem with Judaism, and the Jewish Jesus recognized the need for purity in human life and relationship. It is not surprising that the unclean spirit would beg to enter the unclean pigs. But why did Jesus pay attention to the request of an unclean spirit? The result was not altogether satisfying. The pigs ran down the hillside into the precious water of the Lake of Galilee, thus polluting it. Imagine 2,000 pigs drowned in the fresh water of the small lake that supplied fish for the people. Why not send the demon into some netherworld where it could be no more harm to human life? Puzzling, isn't it? Finally, the restored man wanted to be with Jesus. He recognized the magnificent deliverance that came by way of the word of Jesus and wanted only to be near such gracious, life-giving power. But Jesus refused his request. Why? The answer is not given in the text. It could have served the man well to have spent some time with Jesus before launching out with a proclamation about the word and work of Jesus in the 10 cities. Why did the restored man not obey the word of Jesus and go to his home and friends? Maybe his friends would have been afraid of him or looked down on him because of his past life. Maybe he found a better reception in the cities where he was not recognized. Sometimes that's how it is. A prophet is not without honor except in his own home and among his own friends. Here are a few personal questions that spring to my mind and heart from my reading of the story. Are you clean on the inside? Is your spirit pure? God in Jesus expects clean hands and a pure heart for the worship of the Holy God. Amen.
Praise the Lord, sing hallelujah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise the Lord, our great creator, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise the Lord, you heavens of heavens and you floods above the sky. Praise the Lord.
That was Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah, sung by the CMU Men's Choir. Megan Entz is my interview guest today. Welcome here, Megan.
Thank you.
You are a student leader, is that right?
Yes.
And you're on student council. What's your role?
I am VP Activities, which kind of means I help people kind of advertise their events and things like making calendars and stuff like that. And I also run elections and plan Tuition Freedom Day, which is really fun. And yeah, I chair some meetings every other week. Lots of different things, just kind of jumping in where you need.
Another question about leadership. If you could name, again, out of your CIT experience or even previous leadership experience and now here at CMU, one characteristic of this is what makes a good leader, what would that be?
I would say initiative. Like, leadership is all about jumping in where you're needed and, like, having the initiative to see that space, see what needs to be done, see what where people need help, kind of be intuitive in other people's lives to kind of see how your friends are doing and step up and support them when they need it. And being able to see that is a great skill, and to have to learn that is really important.
Last question here. Is there somebody in your life that's really inspired you as a leader?
Oh my goodness.
That shaped you? Maybe one or two.
I probably can't narrow it down to one.
Comes to mind when I throw that question out there?
Oh, like, it changes as my life goes on. Okay, well, the standard that's always stuck with me is my grandpa, which is kind of, I don't know, I'm sure a lot of people say that, but my grandpa's like this really crazy old man who hangs out in Laird, Saskatchewan, and I called my grandma the other day, and he was out paving the road, and he's 86, 87, like, I don't know why they need him to pave the road, but apparently he needs to be there, and, like, we often joke in our family that when my grandpa has to move away from Laird, this town's going to fall apart because he seems to do everything. And it's all
so
on his own.
So what is it about him that inspires you? Why did he come to mind when I asked you that question?
He has this really interesting energy. He's really funny and, like, just random. He's just always very enthusiastic and very energetic about everything and just has a really good heart, and he's just always very excited about talking to anybody and being a part of things, and it's just really great. Mm. He seems to be like 10 years old still. It's weird.
I'm not sure everyone would actually say, oh, it's my grandpa's. I'm fascinated by it. Thanks for sharing that story about him. It's very inspiring to hear you as a university student saying, well, you know, if you want to know what I'm like as a leader and what I want to be, you got to go to Laird, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
You know, meet the guy who's paving the road there today. Thanks so much, Megan, for coming in and offering your gifts of leadership to this community.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. Next Sunday, October 18th at 7:30 in the Laudamus Auditorium is CMU Vespers, an evening of quiet worship, contemplation, music, and scripture. On October 20th and 21st, we're holding the J.J. Thiessen Lectures with guest speaker Peter Ox, who's the Edgar Bronfman Professor of Modern Judaic Studies from the University of Virginia. October 24th, you're invited to the annual fall fundraising event. For tickets, contact Joyce Friesen here at CMU. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at 3ws.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. And you can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.